come Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Then mourned and lonely exile here, until the Son of God appeared. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Church. Well, welcome to our second of five Christmas Eve services. Last night was a packed house, 100 people in overflow. It was a great time to be together in the house of the Lord. We trust that today this service will be as encouraging to you as well. A couple of housekeeping notes real quickly. Please make sure cell phones are off. If you have young children, we do have nursery children's ministry available for ages 5 and younger. You can go to the education wing if you want to have your kids in children's ministry for this service. And we also want to take a moment to show ourselves friendly. So if you would please stand and greet each other, welcome each other with a Merry Christmas tonight in the house of the Lord.
If you would stay standing with us, we're going to sing a Christmas carol.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come. To Bethlehem, come and behold Him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore. Oh, come, let
oh, come.
name forever. We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever. Christ the Lord.
Good afternoon. You may be seated. I will be reading from Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
The Father's love begotten, ere the world began to be. He the source of all that has been, and all the future years will see. Evermore, evermore, he shall reign forevermore. Humble King, Sovereign Lord, he shall reign forevermore. Oh, that birth forever blessed, chosen virgin girl, by the Holy Ghost conceiving, bore the Savior of our world. Evermore, evermore, he shall reign forevermore. Humble King, Sovereign Lord, he shall reign forevermore. He is found in human fashion, death and sorrow here to know, that the race of Adam's children, doomed by law to endless woe, may not henceforth die and perish in the dreadful gulf below, but forever rest in beauty in the lights of heaven's glow. Evermore, evermore, he shall reign forevermore. Humble King, Sovereign Lord, shall reign.
Good afternoon. For the responsive reading, we're going to read from Luke chapter 2. If you turn your attention to the screens, I'll read the section marked for the pastor, and you can read the sections marked for the congregation. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
And so it was, that while they were there,
and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
If the ushers would come forward, please. Would you please stand and pray with me for the offering? Father, we are here today because we are celebrating the greatest gift ever given mankind. We acknowledge that. We thank you for being a loving God and sending your only Son, Jesus, into the world. We thank you for all that you've given us, especially that precious gift. And Lord, now, as we receive the tithes and the offerings, we want to give back to you. And we ask for your blessing on them, that you might use this church as a light for your Son Christ, that others would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus as Lord and Savior. We commit this to you now. In Jesus' name, everyone said, Amen. Please stay standing for the Christmas hymns.
Holy is
sing this with us now. With the angels, let us sing. With the angels, let us sing.
Christ was born. Oh, night,
let's sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy.
Oh,
Amen. Amen. You know, our worship team does a great job, don't they? Let's just praise the Lord for them. By the way, if anyone here is hearing impaired, Donna is down front interpreting sign language, so off to my left, front row. You're welcome if you need that. Before we dive into the Christmas story, just a word of encouragement to thank you as a congregation for your faithfulness over this past year. It has allowed us to be generous in different ways that otherwise we could not. As many of you know, this winter we collected winter coats on our winter coat drive to help those who don't have a winter coat, and a couple hundred coats came in for that. And then we did our Angel Tree project where we partnered with Prison Fellowship. We wanted to bless children whose parents, one or both, were incarcerated. And over 1,000 names were taken from our congregation. You all went out and bought over 1,000 gifts, brought them back here. They've been distributed throughout the state of Virginia to bless kids whose parents are incarcerated. And then this morning, a couple of our pastors went down. We've done this now for the last 6 years. We have taken down to Bethesda Naval Hospital this morning $8,000 worth of Christmas gifts and distributed them to the 5th Ward and to the ICU of our wounded warriors who are just back from Afghanistan, fresh off the battlefield, horrible injuries. But because of your generosity, we were able to bless them with $8,000 worth of Christmas gifts just throughout the ward for our wounded warriors. So give praise to God for that. Amen. Well, I'm going to share this afternoon the Christmas story from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 18 to 25. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we just come before you on this Christmas Eve, we are reminded of the most blessed gift ever given to mankind, the gift of Jesus Christ. When you came into the world to save sinners like all of us. And we just rejoice in the house of the Lord that we can sing these Christmas carols and be reminded of your grand entrance into this world for us. And we love you, Father, and we pray that you'll be delighted in all that you've heard and all that you will hear in the course of these services today. I thank you, Lord, for each person here. Bless them as they hear and receive from your word today. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. On Christmas Eve, Nathan thought it would be nice to buy his wife a little gift for the next day. Always careful with money, he thought long and hard about what that present might be. Unable to decide, Nathan went to Nordstrom's, and in the cosmetics section, he asked the lady behind the counter, "How about some perfume?" She showed him a bottle priced at $150. "Too expensive," muttered Nathan. The lady returned with a smaller bottle for $75. No, Nathan replied, "still far too much." Growing rather annoyed at Nathan's tone, the sales lady brought out a tiny $25 bottle and offered it to him. He was still not satisfied. "What I mean is," he snapped, "I'd like to see something really cheap." So the sales lady handed him a mirror. Today's story is not cheap at all. The story that we're celebrating here is of extraordinary generosity. This story about the birth of Jesus is about unparalleled love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And we're here this afternoon to celebrate the real meaning of Christmas, which is our attention drawn to the birth of Jesus Christ. It's the time when God came into our world, breathed our air, felt our pain, experienced our sorrows, and died for our sins. Now, before we talk a little bit about what we do know concerning the Christmas story, let's first talk a little bit about what we don't know, because there are some things that we honestly don't know, and even as it relates to some of the Christmas carols that we sing, well, they don't always accurately portray the events surrounding the birth of Jesus as revealed to us in the Bible. For example, the First Noel. That's a beautiful song. I love singing it. But there's a line in there. It talks about a cold winter's night that was so deep. We don't know that it was cold. We don't know that it was winter. And the deep part, I'm not even sure about. Is it snowy? I don't think so. At least it doesn't tell us in the Bible. And then there's an old Christmas carol. Some of you may not be familiar with this. I asked at last night's service how many of you are familiar with I Wonder As I Wander. Like three hands went up. All right, so let me poll this crowd. How many of you remember the old Christmas carol, I Wonder As I Wander? All right, twice as many at this service. Okay, well, there's this line in that Christmas carol that goes like this. When Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow's stall with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. Well, not exactly. I mean, we don't know in the Bible that she gave birth in a cow stall. You know why we make that assumption is because Jesus was placed in a manger. We do know that. And a manger was an animal feeding trough. So instantly we think, must have been in a cow stall. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. Shepherds, yeah, in that line, shepherds were there. Wise men present? Well, actually, the Bible tells us that the wise men or the magi came probably when Jesus was 2 years old. They didn't come initially at his birth. And then the part about wise men and farmers and shepherds and all? No farmers there that I know of, unless, of course, the shepherds had farmers tan, but that's not accurate. And then we have the Christmas carol, We Three Kings. We Three Kings, talking about the wise men. The Bible doesn't tell us that they were three. The Bible doesn't tell us they were kings. We assume three because they brought three gifts. Or what about this one? Joy to the World. I love that song, Joy to the World. And in fact, we're going to close our service today singing Joy to the World. But actually, it was written by Isaac Watts in 1719. And it was taken from Psalm 98. And here's what Watts was trying to do. He was writing a song about the second coming of Jesus, not about his first coming. The second stanza of Joy to the World is, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. That happens the second time Jesus comes. Or the fourth stanza says, He rules the world with truth and grace. Baby Jesus didn't rule the world. The second coming of Jesus is when He comes to rule the world with truth and grace. So I could go on, but by now I've kind of, you know, ruined your Christmas Eve. We've been singing Christmas carols, and they're not always accurate about the Bible story. No, in fact, they're not. Some of them. And so you might be feeling a little deceived, like you've been singing songs that aren't really accurate. Well, it's not really deception. It's just kind of poetic license. But you might be feeling a little bit like, well, the story of Joe and Jeff. The story of Joe and Jeff goes like this. One Christmas, Joe and Jeff built a skating rink in the middle of a field. A shepherd leading his flock decided to take a shortcut across the rink. The sheep, however, were afraid of the ice and wouldn't cross it. Desperate, the shepherd began tugging them to the other side. "Look at that," remarked Joe to Jeff. "That guy is trying to pull the wool over our eyes." Okay, wool over our eyes. All right, well, no one's pulling the wool over your eyes. Christmas carols, they just use a little poetic license. That's what that's about. The truth is, there's a lot of things we don't know about the story of the birth of Jesus. One of which is, we don't really know when He was born. We don't know the date when He was born. The fact of the matter is it important that we know when He was born? No, it's important that we know that He was born. So then, what's the basis behind December the 25th? Why do we celebrate Christmas on December the 25th? Here's just a real snapshot of an historical description of why we celebrate December the 25th. Actually, it all goes back to the year 125 AD. 125 AD, the second bishop of Rome, his name was Telesphorus, he decided that the early church should celebrate the birth of Jesus. Since we didn't know when Jesus came into the world, when God came and entered our world, we should just pick a date and celebrate his birth, some random date. Problem is, church couldn't agree on a date. They couldn't figure out, well, what date should we celebrate? So his birth went largely unrecognized for the first few centuries. Meanwhile, in the first couple of centuries, we have the influence of the Roman culture. And there was this festival around this time of year from the 17th of December until the 23rd of December called Saturnalia. And Saturnalia overlapped the festival celebrating the winter solstice. And basically what you had was people living wild and kind of evil and wicked lifestyles around this particular time of the year. They would celebrate the winter solstice, celebrate the god Saturn with the Saturnalia feasts, and all kinds of immoral behavior would happen, too immoral for me to talk about here because it's a family hour, but suffice it to say, it was really, really bad. So around the year 320 AD, the church got together and said, you know what we need to do? We need to pick this date for the birth of Jesus since we don't really know when he was born. Let's place it directly in contrast to our pagan culture. And so the early church picked December the 25th at the end of Saturnalia and the winter solstice celebration. Listen to this. It was to counter the culture. It was a deliberate, bold, strategic move of the early church to place a celebration of the birth of Jesus right next to this pagan celebration so that the church could be then what it should still be today, which is a light shining in the darkness. And no wonder that Jesus was born in the night. And we do know that. Because in Luke's gospel, when the angels went and announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, it says the shepherds were tending their sheep at night. God chose to enter our world not in the morning, not in the afternoon. I think on purpose, he determined to enter at night because he always wants to represent the statement that he is a light shining in the darkness. It's the reason why when you look in John's gospel, more than once, Jesus talks about being the light of the world. In John 8, he says, I am the light of the world. He says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I think strategically, the Lord came into our world at night. The same reason that the church decided centuries later we ought to celebrate his birth in contrast to the culture of our world. Because why? Jesus is always the solution to a dark world. Jesus is always a solution to your life. And we've come to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a story about three things. It's a story about divinity. It's a story about humility. It's a story about eternity. First, the divinity part. This is a story about something supernatural. This is about God entering our world. This is a miraculous moment. It is his supernatural work. Matthew 1:18, I read it a moment ago. It says, before they came together, that is Mary and Joseph, she, Mary, was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. This was God's work. And when God sent an angel to announce this to Mary in Luke's gospel, Luke tells us in Luke 1 that Mary asked, by what process this is going to happen? She says, how will this be, Luke 1:34, since I am a virgin? And the angel answers in the next verse saying, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now Mary is probably, most scholars guess, 15 years or so. That's how old she is. About 15, maybe 16. And so here she is, 15 or so, and God chose to enter the world through a young woman who was a virgin. Why? So that it would never be assumed that this was something that happened naturally. This is not something that happened naturally. This is something that happened supernaturally, and thus we believe in what the Bible teaches, the virgin birth of Jesus. This is the virgin birth of Jesus. Now you might say to me, you know, Pastor Gary, Do you completely understand the virgin birth? Do you understand this, the way that God entered the world into a virgin? Well, I can't honestly say I understand it fully. I can say I fully believe it, but I can't necessarily understand the miraculous, humanly speaking, but I understand it in terms of believing it fully. Yeah, but there's a lot of things in life I don't understand. So, you know, far simpler than the virgin birth. There's a lot of things I don't get. I don't get how a squirrel can bury an acorn in my backyard and find it a year later. But you can go shopping in the mall at Christmas time, come out just an hour later, and you can't find your car, can you? Can't find it an hour later. How many of you, let's be honest, how many of you can't find your car and you've taken your key fob and you've gone around pressing the alarm button trying to find your car? See if the alarm will go off. Come on, let me see a show of hands. It's good. Confession's good for the soul. Means you're a little dumber than a squirrel, but still, confession's good for the soul. There's a lot of things I don't get. Why is there Braille on the ATM drive-thru? I don't get that. Now, of course, some of you are thinking, don't be so insensitive. It's for people who cannot see. It's a drive-thru. I don't get what figgy pudding is either. I don't even know a lot of things about Christmas. Don't come up to me later and explain it. It doesn't even sound good. Believing in the virgin birth is no stretch for me because there's a lot of things I don't get in life. I accept it by faith. It's God's miraculous entrance into the world. This is a story of divinity, but it is also a story, number two, of humility. Jesus was not born in a palace. He was not born to a family of nobility. God entered our world in the most humble way possible by coming as a baby. He left his throne to assume a manger. He laid down his royal robes and was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He left the praises of the multitude of angels for the praises of a few common shepherds. Jesus came into this world the most humble way possible. And here's why. So that he would be approachable by all. Because nobody's intimidated by a baby. You know, if he had come as, you know, something all grown up and scary, you know, there might be some people who would find him a little intimidating. But a baby's not intimidating. Everybody loves to be near a baby. Unless it stinks, you know, and then somebody else can change it. But everybody loves babies. And God chose to enter this world wrapping himself in human skin to come here as humble as possible, to be approachable by all. That baby would grow up and become a man who would ultimately fulfill the grand purpose for his coming into this world. It's what Jesus said in Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that leads me to the last point. It's not only about divinity, humility, but it's about eternity. Listen, to seek and to save that which was lost. Remember when the angels announced to the shepherds the birth of Jesus, "For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Why a Savior? Because we're all dying of sin. And we all have to face eternity. We all have to make a decision about who Jesus is, believing in him or not, because this is a matter of eternity. How you answer that question, who is Jesus, affects eternity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We all need a Savior. And yet, honestly, I am surprised sometimes at what people have to go through before they will finally yield their lives to the Savior. How much pain do you have to endure? How much sorrow, how much heartache in this world? How much of life do you have to endure before you will finally say yes to Jesus as the one who died to rescue us from this sinful, fallen world, that we might have heaven as our hope when we die, to go to be with him? I was reading an article just last week about Michael Douglas. Many of you are familiar with Michael Douglas. He's an actor. He just came out with his most recent film, the Wall Street Money That Never Sleeps, with Shia LaBeouf. And many of you are aware that he's suffering from stage 4 throat cancer. And I was reading this article about how he's dealing with his cancer. And here's what the article said in part, and I'm quoting. It says, he hasn't pondered the meaning of life yet, or gone on any soul-searching journeys to faraway lands. He said, quote, Douglas speaking, quote, I like my odds. I'm not dealing with mortality issues until they tell me, oops, we have to go back and do surgery or something like that. The tumor is shrinking. The odds are good, end quote. He pauses a beat, smiles, and takes a sip of the aloe-infused water he's drinking to soothe his throat. And then Douglas adds, quote, I haven't found God yet. And I read that and I thought, okay, here he is suffering from something that's obviously a very horrible disease. I certainly do wish and pray that he beats it. Nobody should have to suffer with something like that. But I'm troubled by the way he says, I like my odds. Because there are countless Michael Douglases in this world who think that mortality is something they don't need to deal with because the odds are on their favor. But wait a minute. Look, I've done a lot of funerals. Here's a statistic that for every mortality-denying person needs to hear, 10 out of 10 people die. 10 out of 10 people die. It is inevitable. And I pray for Michael Douglas and others like him. What in the world is it going to take before? How bad does it have to get in life before you'll finally surrender to Jesus? Or, in a positive sense, how good does it have to get in life before you will finally honor God with your life? Because He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. The question is, do you have room in your heart for Him? It's the way that this one old Christmas carol ends. It's a Christmas carol entitled, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne. It was written in 1864. Let me just read, and it says this. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Is there room? Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? With your heads bowed and eyes closed. Many of you already know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're celebrating Christmas because you are celebrating the time that God entered this world. But there are some of you, no doubt, who don't know Him in a personal way. And I want to invite you right now, right here, this Christmas Eve, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, the room is dark, so I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I couldn't see it anyway. But between you and God, this is the moment for you to reckon that. How are you with the Lord? Are you right with God? How bad do things have to get? Or how good do things have to get before you will finally surrender your life to Jesus? If you'd like to accept Him and receive Him tonight as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer. And right where you're seated, you can whisper this prayer as I lead you. You can repeat it after me, and you can make this your prayer, and you'll be saved. If that's your heart's desire, just repeat this as I pray it. You repeat it, and you whisper it to the Lord. Just pray it with me. Lord Jesus, just pray it to Him. Lord Jesus, thank You for coming into this world to save sinners like me. I ask You to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart right now and to save me. I believe in my heart that You died on the cross for me and that God raised You from the dead. And I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray these things. Amen and amen. If you prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, after we sing the last couple of songs tonight, make your way up to the front if you want to just take a minute so we can give you a New Testament Bible. Let this be the best Christmas ever by yielding your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The worship team is going to sing, and then we're going to close our service with Joy to the World. So let's just continue to worship the Lord.
Christ is here. God is with us. He
Would you all stand with us as we sing this last song?
Pray with me, please. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much, Father, that you are Emmanuel, God with us, Lord. And that we have not been left alone here, Lord, that you came as a gift to show us that you love so much, Lord. Father, we ask that we would remember these things tomorrow as we celebrate your birth, as we gather with our family. Lord, just remind our hearts. Keep us safe, Lord, until we meet again. And we just pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas. God bless.